So today is the day that the president is going to go for the guns. He's going to expand, they say, background checks, and there will be no minimum threshold for anyone to be considered a gun dealer. So if I sell mine to you, under the president's new plan, supposedly I am going to be a gun dealer, would have to register with the federal government as a gun dealer, would have to get an ATF license and submit myself to the federal government. You can only imagine how many folks are going to say, flip with that, I'm out of this, I'm not going to do this. And that is the president's plan. Now, I contend again, and I'm going to make this perfectly clear over and over again, that when you see this government act, they're not acting to try to protect people. This is not about gun grabbing. This is not about trying to make people safer. He doesn't care anything about that. Think globally. Think the way he thinks, which is restriction of liberties, restriction of freedoms, and rendering the Constitution irrelevant. I'm going to go to the guy who I respect most on this issue. He wrote the book on this issue and continues to turn out the best when it comes to information concerning guns in America. Professor John Lott is joining me now on 550 KTSA and FM 1071 on the Stevens Roofing Newsmaker Hotline, the author of one of the best books you'll ever read on this subject, which is More Guns, Less Crime. Doctor, good morning to you, and thank you for being back here on the show.
Oh, good talking to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. So the president says, what I'm going to do is within my constitutional bounds. Is it? And what are your thoughts on what he's going to do today?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't really believe he even thinks that this follows the law. The law is pretty clear in terms of defining who has to go and get a federal license to sell guns. And those are people who are principally involved in the business of selling guns, who are principally involved in making their profit for a living from that activity. And that doesn't have to deal with the number of guns you sell. There's some people, obviously, as you say, who are going to be affected by this. If they sell one gun, they're going to be liable for that. That doesn't seem by any definition to meet the standards that are currently in place. But, you know, it's going to take years to go through the courts, at least if a Democrat, Hillary Clinton, wins this fall. And so, you know, if a Republican wins, I suppose they'll undo these executive orders. But he's had plenty of rules that he's put up in the courts that have taken years for the courts to finally decide.
What is the defense against this? When he makes this announcement today, those of us who want to preserve freedom and our rights to the Second Amendment, how should we respond to this? What should we be saying, and what should we be doing?
Right. Well, I guess I wouldn't be arguing in terms of freedom. I'd be arguing in terms of safety that's here. And, you know, when he's talking about all the supposed benefits of this in terms of mass public shootings and what have you, there's not one of those attacks that would have been stopped as a result of these laws if they had been in effect the entire time. The key thing here, though, is that there are real costs from having the types of changes that he wants to go and have. If you live in Washington, D.C., these so-called expanded background checks add about $125 onto the cost of transferring a gun. In New York State, you're talking about $80. In a place like Washington State, you're talking about $60 being added on. That may not make a difference for you or I transferring a gun, but for poor people, let's say poor minorities or blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, the law-abiding citizens that my work finds benefit the most from having the option to be able to go and defend themselves, you know, those types of fees may make the difference between whether or not they're going to be able to afford to buy a gun to be able to go and defend themselves. There are real problems with the current background check system. It's a real mess in that when the president will go and say something like 2.4 million prohibited or dangerous people have been stopped from buying a gun because of a background check, that's simply false. What he should say is that there have been 2.4 million initial denials. Let me give you an analogy. The late Senator Ted Kennedy was stopped from flying on a plane 5 times because he was on the no-fly list. I assume the president wouldn't count those as 5 times we stopped a terrorist from flying. They were basically mistakes that were there. Kennedy had a name similar to someone that they wanted to stop, but that's not the same thing as being the terrorist. So when you say 2.4 million dangerous prohibited people, what it should say is 2.4 million initial denials, and virtually all of those are false positives. Virtually all of those are the wrong people. And the problem with that is for most people that will simply be an inconvenience. But for a small but significant number of people, they may women who may be stalked or threatened, being stopped for months or longer.
They could lose their lives.
Yeah,
they could lose their lives. That's exactly right. The president says, "I'm here to save lives." They could actually, what this could do is end up with more deaths and not fewer deaths. One real quick thing here, right, to Dr. Lott, and then I'll let you go. You mentioned the no-fly list. We're being told that that's also part of what the president is going to do today. If you're on the no-fly list, then you will not be able to buy a gun under his new regulations. Well, first of all, as you mentioned, there have been those on that no-fly list that had no business being on that no-fly list, and there is no due process involved in that no-fly list. You can end up on that no-fly list for looking cross-eyed.
Right, and they don't tell you. I mean, it's subjective, and a lot of the people who are on those lists are there simply because the government wants to talk to you, not because they believe that you're a terrorist threat or anything, but they believe you may have information about somebody else, and they just want to be able to find you and talk to you. Those are real costs that you impose on people, and it's, you know, it's one thing to stop somebody from buying a gun because you know, they have committed a crime, or you may even, you know, you have some strong evidence against them, but simply to go and want to talk to somebody, to deny them the ability to go and defend themselves, seems like a real problem to me. And my own belief is that those types of restrictions will run into trouble in the courts.
Dr. John Lott, Professor John Lott, we will be in touch. We'll continue to cover this story with you, and thank you for your time this morning, sir.